Today's episode of The Thriller Zone is sponsored by Blackstone Publishing and the brilliant new techno thriller 4 Minutes by the number one internationally best-selling author duo, Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson. 4 Minutes is available now from your favorite bookseller. Hello and welcome to The Thriller Zone. I'm your host, David Temple. On today's 173rd episode of The Thriller Zone, now in our sixth season, Jack Beaumont, former spy-turned-author, is going to discuss his world of experiences and how they have influenced his writing. Join me as we discuss his first breakout thriller, The Frenchman, and now his soon-to-be next smash hit, Dark Arena. As always, you've got a front-row seat to the best thriller writers in the world. Right here on The Thriller Zone.
We're going to be talking about Dark Arena here on the show. Have you heard the show at all? Have you had a chance to take
A,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Had a look.
Well, very excited to have you. And you are in, let's see, where are you calling from today?
I'm in Australia, but at the moment I'm in Canberra because I still work for defense, so everything happens in Canberra.
Oh, gotcha. So you're not an author full-time?
Unfortunately not. Hope one day I will, but for the moment I'm still working.
Well, dude, and may I call you dude?
Sure.
All right. should I say it? How would I say that with a French accent? Dude?
Yeah, you know, we are not all speaking like Pepe Le Pew, you know that?
You're not what?
We're not all speaking like Pepe Le Pew, you know that? You know?
Dude, you can slap me the next time you see me, I promise you.
Yeah.
But anyway, it seems like just yesterday The Frenchman came out, and then I turn around and your good friends at Blackstone introduced me to Dark Arena, and I'm like, wow. Part of that is time flying, part of that is just getting flat out older, I suppose. If you want to be really honest about it, probably for both of us, maybe harder on me than you. Before we jump into Dark Arena, I would love if we could a little bit of a background on you. You could call it some intel, if you will. Now, let's talk about the first book, The Frenchman. This is going to tee it up for my audience. It launched your career at Blackstone Publishing in this series. So I want to step back and I want to go, what is that experience that has informed your vast knowledge of being able to write such a gripping spy thriller? And folks, I got to tell you, right out of the gate, it grabs you by the throat and you can't let go.
Well, that's pretty simple. I used to be a spy. Basically, I started as a fighter pilot in the French Air Force. So I used to be specialized in dogfight, air-to-air combat. So I was flying single-seaters for dogfight. And I was engaged in a few combat missions. And then I had a flying accident, injured my back. Then I was moved to Special Forces, and I did a few years in Special Forces. I participated to the hunt of the Serbian war criminals in the Balkans. And then I was picked up by the French Secret Service, so DGSE, the equivalent of the CIA, and internally selected to be on the field. And then I did 7-8 years clandestine operations under false identities in various countries. So I had 5 different IDs on which I was turning all the time for each mission. And so globally, I did a bit more than 100 missions, which means I had a bit more than 100 different identities. And so I decided to leave the company in 2014 because basically it's a very, very dark job. It has a heavy psychological toll. And so I decided to leave the company. And then in 2018, I was still having, nightmares and PTSD and, chasing ghosts in the middle of the night in my house, walking around the house, checking every door, every window in the dark, in the middle of the night with a knife in my hand. And sitting on the couch in the living room waiting for someone to come in, because that's what I used to do to the others. So I was expecting someone doing it to me. And then a friend of mine said to me, you should write it down. It would help you. Psychologically, it would really help you if you write it down and you unload everything from your mind to a paper. And that's how I started to write The Frenchman. So that's why it's so realistic. It's because it's basically based on real experiences, and I wrote it thinking that no one was going to read it, you know, and then it became a bestseller. So yeah, that's the story.
All right. Well, I have to, I got to unpack this in small bites, because first, let me back up. First of all, I'm just trying to imagine. And as I was reading this book, I was trying to imagine what it's like to be in your shoes. So we're going to mention this in a second about being a spy, but the PTSD and the, I think what grabbed me the most was the multiple characters. And I'm following this character and I'm going, wait a minute, he changed his name. Oh, he changed it again. Oh no, he changed it again. And I'm thinking to myself, in reality, how does one keep the characters straight?
It's very hard. Well, you need, of course, some training. And at the beginning, you don't have, you know, you don't have so many identities, but it's really hard. And it's also very hard because you have to really be, you know, in the character, basically, of this false identity. It's not just a name. So you have to, all the work to do, which is called gardening, where you have to prepare your false identity. So, for example, the place where you are meant to live, you have to spend some time in this area, in the city where you are meant to live. So you need to befriend the guy at the coffee shop around the corner, the hairdresser, the guy who is selling his, you know, fruits and everything, so that if you get caught in another country and if someone comes and check your identity and it walks around with the picture of you, then all those people have to say, oh, yeah, I know him. His name is this and he lives here around the corner. So it needs a lot of time, you know, for you to spend in those false lives, for to really be in the character, because if you get caught and interrogated, you can't afford, you know, not having a solid false identity, because otherwise you're dead.
So you use the phrase gardening, and that's part of building the legend, right?
Yes.
So you will have multiple legends simultaneously, and you have to remember with whom you're speaking and which legend goes with that character. I mean,
exactly.
We're used to watching spy television and movies, and I know you probably, having been a spy, roll your eyes a little bit, but we only have one kind of connection. So it's kind of fair that would, you know, be a little bit hard to understand for your average bear. But I'm thinking to myself, you have to be, I never thought about this, your ability to be a good actor as well as a great agent. I don't know why I didn't think that, but I'm like, well, sure, you're acting because you're not really that person, but it's mind-bending for me.
A big part of the job is to, you know, recruit and manipulate some human sources, to do some human intelligence. So you have a part of the job, which is actually what we call the environment, to detect the leverage that you're going to use to manipulate this person, what we call the MICE, M-I-C-E. So it's the four leverages on which you can manipulate someone. So M is for money, I is for ideology, C is for coercion, and E is for ego. So you're going to observe someone and follow this person until you detect the mice. And from the moment you consider that you know which mice it is, then you're going to enter this person's life under a false identity, already knowing a lot about this person because you've been observing this person for weeks, months, you know, and tapping the phone, emails, everything. And then you're going to have to befriend this person. So it's a really an actor game. You really have to be, you know, the character you are meant to be, and you have to pretend and befriend this person to reach the point where this person's basically is going to be manipulated and is going to trust you enough to betray his or her country or his company and give you the intelligence that you're after. And the problem is that from the moment you will have this intelligence, well, you don't want anyone else to have it. You don't want anyone else to know that you have it. And you don't want anyone else to know who has it. So this person basically has to disappear.
So when you were before you became a spy fighter pilot, did you ever say to yourself as you were training, I don't know that I have the ability, and we're going to get to the book in just a second, I don't know that I have the ability to convince myself that I can play these characters? Because it's one thing to go, okay, I'm going to take on a role, I'm going to put an outfit, be this person, I've got the intel in my head, I've got the legend built. But there has to be somewhere along the line where you just go, what if I can't pull this off? And the doubting would have to really screw with your head.
Yeah, no, it does happen sometimes to doubt, especially when you are facing someone that your real yourself really hates, like a real bad guy, and you have to pretend, you are his friend.
Right.
And that's really, really hard. So the story you see in The Frenchman, when I met, he was the head of a bacteriological weapon program. And I met him in a country, and I was meant to approach him and try to befriend him. So I was trying to create the empathy. And I said to him, you have a wife, kids, just to try to establish a link, a relationship with him. And he said, no, with what I intend to do of the world, I prefer not to have kids. So he was like a real Nazi, like he was crazy. He really wanted to kill the whole world. And when someone tells you this kind of stuff, in my mind, in my real mind, I thought, I could kill this guy. But you have to smile and say, oh yeah, I understand, people like you, blah, 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 blah. And you have to not to show, to be poker face and not to show any emotions, real emotions. So you have to really convince yourself that you are this someone else with those other emotions and this other mindset. So, which is very dangerous, because at the end of the day, you are losing yourself. You are losing who you really are by forcing your soul and your spirit to be someone else. And then when you come back and you have your wife and your kids, you end up playing another character, which is your real yourself.
I think the one thing that kind of keeps flipping around in my head is you said it's so dark, and that you're still working, and you want to, there has to be a part of your psyche that wants to step out of that. Then my head switches to, you are the personification, Jack, of the personification of writing what you know. Now we talk to people on the show all the time that they write about military thrillers. They write about political thrillers. Some of them have never been in the military, never been into politics. And there's a part of me always says, well, that's what writers do. We make shit up, basically. However, with you, I mean, you don't really have to reach very far to make stuff up, because you've already lived it. And I think that's what's so powerful about Dark Arena, is that as I'm reading it, I actually, and especially the detail of the cities and the locations, I'm like, oh no, this is all spot on. And it's just fractions of fiction that, it's actually a good phrase, that set it apart. And your ability to master that with only two books, and I say this, and it sounds so cliche when I say it, I can't believe it's your second book, but books like this have made me even bigger fans of spy stories. And we love spy stories. You've done something here with this book that has taken it to the next level. So kudos to you.
Yeah, thanks. But it's in a way, I've been cheating in a way, because it's the main character is, because I wrote, to expel my PTSD, the main character is me. All those emotions that you feel when you're reading those books, The Frenchman or Dark Arena, are actually, the real emotions I had being on the field. Like, for example, you have, the infiltration on a boat in Dark Arena. I really did this. I was trained for a few, days to be a waiter on a boat for a few days. And I really had to do this, So all those pieces of the book, compared to another writer who would create the story. I'm inspired by my real experiences. So I'm cheating in a way, because, it's just simpler for me just to talk about what I've been going through.
And Jack, I know Jack's not your real name, but you can tell me. I'll keep it a secret. What's your real name?
Jack.
Okay, got it. We'll be right back. Today's episode is sponsored by Blackstone Publishing and the new thriller 4 Minutes by the best-selling authors of the Sons of Valor series, Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson. When Special Ops Chief Tyler Brooks is recruited to lead an elite new squad to face an unpredictable enemy, he's promised access to mind-bending technology, the ability to glimpse into the future, collecting intel to stop attacks in the present. But when a plot to attack America, threatening the lives of millions, is discovered, is 4 minutes enough time to change the outcome? This new techno thriller will have you on the edge of your seat until the very last page. 4 minutes is available now from your favorite bookseller. And now, back to the show. Does your family, since you just mentioned that, does your family ever look at you sometimes? And I'm trying to picture you at the dinner table, and you're still operating in a little bit of legend, and your kid asks you a question, and you answer in the legend, and he or she looks at you and, Papa, come on. It's us.
Well, when I was in the company, they didn't know I was in the company. For them, I was still a fighter pilot, but at the headquarters of the Air Force in Paris. They didn't even know my background in special forces. So they only realized when the first book, The Frenchman, came out. And just before The Frenchman came out, I said to my wife, I said, I have to tell them before the book comes out. I have to tell them myself. I don't want them to, you know, discover through the book. And she said, oh, okay, but don't make a big fuss out of it. You know, don't tell them it's James Bond, you know, just tell them that it's a really, really shitty job. So I said, okay. And so I grabbed them and I said, you know, you always ask me, you know, what I was doing, what was my job when we were living in Paris. So I'm going to tell you. So they were like, oh, really? I say, yeah, really. So after being a fighter pilot, I was special forces, and then I was a spy. And there was this big silence, and they looked at me and they started, you know, laughing like crazy, thinking I was doing a joke. And I stayed very serious and I said, no, I'm not joking. I was a spy. And so the elder one continued to laugh and the youngest one started to cry. And I said, why are you crying? And he was, at that time, he was like 12 or something. And I said, why are you crying? He said, because now bad guys are going to come after us and after our family. And I said, no, that's not possible. That's not how it works. And he said, why? And I said, because they're all dead. But it just came out like this. So yeah, it did scare them even more.
Because now, daddy killed them all.
Yeah, it's a very dark, very, very dark world, the real world of espionage. And usually divorce is the rule, and suicide as well. And what's interesting is that actually we are, what you see in movies, Jason Bourne, you know, James Bond. It's very cool to arrive in the lobby of a 5-star hotel and say, my name is Bond, James Bond, you know?
Right.
But actually, when you are in the DGSE, in the French Secret Service, well, first of all, you have a Peugeot instead of an Aston Martin. But the reality is that we are recruited because we are married, or a lot of us are married with kids, because marriage is a sign of mental stability. As you're going to have a lot of different identities and go around the world being someone else, you need something to ground you. You need something to hook you back to your real life. And the best way of doing this is to be married. Because if you're not married, if you're single, and then you're on the other side of the world with a suitcase full of cash being someone else, it's very easy to lose it, you know? But then they are pushing you to develop your own dark side as much as possible, knowing that this dark side, at the end of the day, will provoke divorce, you know? So It's very tricky, and you have to detect yourself when, you know, you're reaching this tipping point.
Do you ever ask yourself why you signed up for a gig, especially knowing the propensity toward the PTSD and suicidal, et cetera? Do you ever stop and just go, what am I thinking?
No. you do it for your country. You do it to... Yeah. You do it to save people while they are sleeping without them knowing that you exist, because someone has to do this, you know, and go in those darknesses and fight the devil. Someone has to do it. And also because you are part of, you know, a very deep secrecy. You are living in a parallel world, a bit like being in Matrix. And you know what's really happening, you know, behind the curtain. And you are doing things that, I mean, what you see in movies comes from somewhere, you know. So there is a lot of waiting, observing, writing reports, because everything has to be well documented, everything you do, etc. And the preparation of a mission is very, very heavy. So there is a lot of, let's say, boring moments. But there are some moments where, yes, you're jumping out of a plane in the middle of the night after having thrown a jet ski, you know. So there are some James Bondy moments, but they are very rare. Intelligence, the real intelligence, is slow and very dark. And you see the worst of the human nature and the worst of yourself, actually.
This is probably one of the most intense interviews I've ever had because my mind is racing. There's a profound respect and appreciation. And then there's a sorrow for what you have been exposed to and how it affects you and your family. But there's a fascination, I think, because I grew up as you and I were probably, I'm sure I'm older than you are, but we grew up with some of those same movies that we love the action and the thrill a minute. The difference being you've lived it and I've only sat stuffing my face full of popcorn and cold beer, imagining what it would be like.
I mean, it's like being a fighter pilot. Before being a fighter pilot, my favorite movie as a kid was The Right Stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to become a fighter pilot. I wanted to be a part of those guys. You know, I wanted to be a part of that tribe. So I became a fighter pilot. And when one morning my CEO said to me, well, Monday morning, you're going to take off and go to a real war mission. and then you realize what a fighter pilot is. And it's not what you see in movies. When before joining, you don't realize the psychological toll it will be. And you don't realize that actually when you are in the normal, let's say, military, when you finish your mission and when you come back, you can have holidays, you can have weekends, because the bad guys you've been fighting over Afghanistan, for example, they're not going to chase you in your hometown over the weekend. But in intelligence, it never stops. You can't have a weekend, you can't have a holiday. So even when you come back from a mission and under false identity, and then you become yourself again and come back home, everyone is a potential enemy. Everything is a potential threat when you walk in the street with your wife and your kids. So it just never, never stops. So it's like a war mission of 8 years, psychologically. It's like a war mission of 8 years because you just never, never stop. Everyone, the threat can come from everywhere at any time. So the paranoia level is very, very high. And the impact, psychological impact, is permanent.
But I'm going to sound like an idiot when I say that, but just bear with me. People get used to it. You look and you seem like such a normal, average guy. I mean, you could be a banker. You could be, you know, an accountant. And, you
know,
that's
why I was a spy. I can look anything.
I know. It's just amazing to me. Okay. Before I move on, and some people call it an elevator pitch. Some people call it a byline, a log line. But I would like for you, so that I'm, because you know all the intricate details and I don't. And while I enjoyed the ride, I don't want to give it away. Can you give me a little fast pitch on what this fabulous book is about? Dark Arena is just a rip-roaring read.
Well, actually, it's a spy novel.
Yeah.
First, basically shows, let's say, what could have happened behind the scenes to reach the situation between Russia and Ukraine. So it's, let's say, highly realistic, mm-hmm. highly actual, topical, and with a very detailed spy plot and very detailed spy methodologies, with a real spy life, having to juggle with the family and balance the family and the job and those darknesses of the job and the joyful, supposedly joyful moment of the life with the family. All this in the context of the gas battle on the Mediterranean Sea, which brings us to the situation between Russia and Ukraine.
People love to use this phrase, Jack, especially when they're advertising books of this nature, ripped from the headlines. And this is one time that it is the personification of ripped from the headlines. I mean, it almost as though you wrote this last month.
Well, actually, I wrote it I started almost 3 years ago. And because I really worked on this kind of topic. And actually, my ending normally was Putin invading Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And on the first draft. And then it did happen. So the publisher called me and said, well, you have to find a new ending because it's not fiction anymore. So I had to find a new ending. So, yeah, it's very topical.
Yeah, this one's better, by the way. I want to know this. For folks who are getting introduced to you and our good friends at Blackstone Publishing, would you say that it is better or you must read The Frenchman first, or can you just jump in with Dark Arena?
No, you can start with Dark Arena. So it's a series. So it's the same characters in The Frenchman and in Dark Arena, but it's a different mission. It's a different story. If you start with The Frenchman, of course, you will have a better understanding of the characters, maybe, but you can start directly with Dark Arena, of course, without any issues. Yeah. And then go back to The Frenchman.
Of course. Now, I would be remiss in our last few minutes. I would be remiss if I didn't ask what is next. And I don't want to jump ahead and not give this enough time, because folks are going to, if they like a spy thriller, they're going to read this one maybe before almost any other book I've talked about recently. And I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, Jack, because I'm going to have other people go, I was on your show and you said mine was, well, I lied. This one's better.
Thanks, David.
Yeah. But do you, my question is, how far away is the next one? You got to be working on the next one already.
Yeah, I'm working on the next one. So basically the topic of The Frenchman, the first one is about bacteriological weapons, which is basically a true story with a massive threat on Paris. Then in Dark Arena is about Russia, Ukraine and gas involving the US. And number three will be on the Chinese cyber. So I'm working on it at the moment. Yeah.
Wow, TikTok. I can't even imagine where you'll get your research for that.
I can't imagine either.
Yeah.
But no, the interesting thing also is that I sold the rights to make a TV series in the US of The Frenchman. And the funny part is that actually the people I sold the rights of The Frenchman to are the two sons of John Le Carré.
No way.
Yeah, so they are the one who made, you know, A Little Drummer Girl or The Night Manager, A Most Wanted Man, or this kind of show. And the idea is to adapt The Frenchman as a TV series. And I'm very lucky because the scriptwriter who is adapting the book is Nick Pizzolatto. Nick is the one who created True Detective.
Yeah.
So if he's making a True Detective of espionage, it would be just fantastic. So I'm very lucky, and they are really fantastic people to work with. So I'm very lucky.
Boy, I don't say this phrase very often, but holy shit, that's amazing.
We'll see if it happens. We'll see if it happens or not.
Side note, I'm sure you're a content consumer. Is that safe to say? Yes.
Yes.
Have you enjoyed the True Detective series?
Oh yeah, the first season is just, it's just crazy. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Season one was in a category by itself.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Yeah.
Season two, I had to go back the second time because one of the actors who play a bad guy, John Lindstrom, was on the show last week, and I had kind of washed through season two, but after having met John and had him on the show and the way he sang the praises of Vince Vaughn, I had to go back and watch it again. And sure enough, it was better the second time. And so now we're trying to catch up with Mahershala Ali on 3, as we are also simultaneously watching 4, which is mind-bending.
Yeah, 3 is crazy. 3 is amazing as well.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. But here's my point. Kudos to you. Golly day, I cannot be happier for you. I hope it comes true, because you're standing at the feet of giants, Jack.
Yeah. Well, you know, you need to, that's what I understand now, but you need to really line up a lot of planets to make it happen in Hollywood, apparently. And there are moving parts, moving planets all the time. So it's really hard to line up everything. And of course, I'm not the one trying to do it. I'm just an observer. And it looks like it's very hard. And I hope that all those planets will, manage to be well aligned at some point.
From your lips to God's ears. I would say this, my best piece of advice to you is patience, because having worked in LA, Hollywood 3 different times, nothing happens fast.
No.
I think if there was something written on the tombstone of Hollywood, if Hollywood were to die, it would say, yeah, we didn't do anything fast.
Well, I can be very patient, so that's okay.
Well, I would think in your job, especially when you're building your legends, et cetera, and you're building your worlds, you can't rush any of that. You can't rush a detail because you're operating with one mind. This is what blows my mind about you, Jack. You're operating with one mind while simultaneously performing through a different mind, trying to read the mind of the person in front of you. Man, talking about ADD, thank God you're not ADD, I suppose, but it's impressive.
Thank you. Honestly, I mean, I just hope that people in the US will read my books and Dark Arena or The Frenchman, because it is just also to share this experience. And I'm sure that, for all different reasons, we all have traumas in our lives. Some people is because of their childhood, and some people because they were in the military, or, we all have different lives and different reasons to have traumas. And the fact that I'm sharing my own experience and my own PTSD through those books, through espionage novels, I hope it will, potentially help people to take a bit of distance with their own, issues or trauma, and see that, something else exists in the world.
I commend you for that, because I don't hear that very often. I don't hear people say that I write my books to help others get through a tough time. I think that's a first on this show. I want to make sure I'm scouring my memory. Yeah, I have not heard that before, and it triggers a couple of different thoughts. And I commend you on that. And it's good, because there's a humanity to that that supersedes just the entertainment value. Yeah. All right. As we wrap, because I know you're on a tight schedule, I want to ask you something. Now, I know you're only 2 books in, The Frenchman and Dark Arena, but what would you give my listeners and my viewers who are aspiring writers? What's that best piece of writing advice, especially woven through the mind of someone who really has lived it?
Write with your heart, not with your mind. For a book to be a good book, or for a reader to enjoy reading a book, you need to feel emotions. It's like when you watch a movie. If the movie is plain and without any emotions, you're not going to enjoy it. The reason why you're reading a book, the reason why you're watching a movie, is to have emotions, to be happy, to be sad, to be worried, to be scared, to be anxious. And so you have to feel for the character. And the only way you can make this happen is, as an author, to write with your heart and with your own emotions, and not with your mind, trying to depict or describe some situations or a character. You have to be in the character and really describe the feelings of this character and the emotions so that the reader can go through those emotions and in the journey with you. Wow. I think that's the good thing to do.
That is so superb. Well, Jack, once again, big congratulations for Dark Arena and The Frenchman. Thank you so much for showing up and spending the time with us. It's been an honor.
Thank you, David. I'm very glad you got me in your show, and thank you for your interest in my book, in my books. And look, I just hope that your audience in the U.S. will enjoy reading it.
I think they will. And folks, if you'd like to learn more about Jack, go to jackbeaumontofficial.com. And I want to take this moment to say a special thanks to our good friends at Blackstone Publishing for not only introducing us to you, but for providing such superb reading content to our audience time and again.
Thanks, David. Thanks again.
Your front row seat to the best thrillers. The Thriller Zone.
The Thriller Zone has been presented by Blackstone Publishing and the exciting new techno thriller 4 Minutes, now available from your favorite bookseller. Learn more at blackstonepublishing.com.